Don't get in no trouble.
Nah, we're just trying to win this dance.
You're staying alive on 101.9 with Marco on Astrotop.
We got the Refugees All-Stars, Rubber Devin in the club, Y Club Jean.
Cause shorty got back. Should I ask her for a dance? Hold on, there's too many in the wolf pack. And besides, dirty cats talking to her, buying her fake furs and taking her to the fever.
Welcome, you're listening to CITR 101.9. It's Thursday, it's 3 o'clock, and it's time for another 1/2 hour of astronomy talk with your host Marco on CITR's Astro Talk.
Ouija's, check the spelling, R-E-F-U-G-E. Get the CD from Sam Goody. You ain't even close with the rhymes that you wrote. Don't be mad cause you broke. Let me clear my throat.
You're listening to Astro Talk with Marco on CITR 101.9 FM.
Me, I'm eating mangoes in Trinidad with attorneys. Yeah. My crew slang flow worldwide like a current. Went to every spot where nobody got insurance. Rubber do the math, you ain't half niggas out it. My man's claim true, you forget about it. Ho-ho, just a nuisance, like my influence. Well recognized, you a lie trying to do it. Got you, told your lady, oops, we nuts, baby. Smooth and charismatic, automatic, you gon' save me.
Welcome, this is Marco, you're listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9. We're going to do a special thing that happened in astronomy. Two neutron stars colliding to create gravitational waves and other kinds of radiation. And I'm going to talk about that today. But also, I'm going to talk about these buses we have. Right now, such high tech stuff that gets us to see all these wonderful things. And then
we
the
all
buses
know
don't come.
That so, the word jazz means many different
don't
things to many
tech.
Different
don't
people.
Go BC
so
transit.
Check out
anyway,
the real deal.
Welcome to the show. There was two neutron stars colliding, and what's the difference between what happened a couple years ago, or a year and a half ago, with two black holes colliding? Well, the black holes are more massive, and we all know that nothing escapes a black hole. So when light enters a black hole, it can't leave. So there was no radiation in terms of light. There's only gravitational waves. But this is a first-seen neutron star collision. It creates light, gravitational waves, and gold. So I'm going to read an article. It's from CNN. I'm going to skip the NASA articles because it'd be too hard to find them. So I'm going to talk about an article that actually there's a good one in the Independent. I guess that is a British newspaper, so let's read that one. It says, two stars crashed into each other, wobbling the universe and flinging out huge amounts of gold. And the subtitle is, the discovery opens a new chapter in astrophysics, say experts, and has been described as one of the most exciting ever. Okay, so here there's a graphic, and they have two neutron stars, and the mass of the two neutron stars was quite different than when the two black holes collided last year. I believe the two black holes that collided, they were 29 or 36 or something solar masses. And when they collided, their final mass, when they got together, that was a 62 solar mass black hole. And three solar masses of the black holes were turned into radiation. So we couldn't see it, but we could feel the gravitational waves. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to read the Independent. Actually, there could have been light emitted from that, but I'm not sure, so I'll make sure next time. But anyway, scientists have observed two stars slam into each other deep in space, sending out huge amounts of gold in an alchemical explosion. The super dense stars crashed together 130 million years away, spewing out precious metals and other heavy elements like platinum and uranium. And experts say the event has kick-started a new chapter in astrophysics and confirmed theories about the origin of the mysterious neutron stars. So I believe what was expelled was the lanthanides on the periodic table. And all you chemists that know what a lanthanide is, good for you. Okay, so back to the article. Scientists just didn't hear the violent blast by seeing the ripples in space-time. They were also able to use telescopes on satellites and the ground to see the light and radiation that was being flung out of the explosion, which is known as a kilonova. And that information is going to be relied on for years to come as scientists learn more about the beginnings of such stars and even our entire universe, astronomers said. Every other gravitational wave detection has been traced to black holes crashing together in remote regions of the universe more than 1 billion light years away. So this one was not 1 billion, it was 130 million. Very short distance, isn't that? Of course, that's one thing about astronomy. We have black holes colliding 1.3 billion light years from us, and now we have neutron stars colliding 130 million light years from us. So it happened 130 million light years ago, and we just sense the collision now. So these are still very distant objects, if you ask us humans, because we don't travel as fast as a light year. Okay, so every other gravitational wave detection has been traced to black holes crashing together in remote regions of the universe more than a billion light years away. The new event, where the neutron stars were colliding, was much closer and completely different in nature. It was caused by colliding neutron stars, burned out remnants of giant stars so dense that a teaspoon of their material on Earth would weigh a billion tons. So the two objects, each about 12 miles in diameter, stretched and distorted space-time as they spiraled towards each other and finally collided. Like ripples from a thrown stone in a pond, the gravitational waves fanned out across the universe at the speed of light. They were picked up on Earth by two incredibly sensitive detectors in Washington and Louisiana in the U.S., operated by the Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory, or LIGO. So whoever knows what I've been doing the past couple of years, last August I went to LIGO and I interviewed Dr. Mike Landry, a couple-hour interview. I interviewed another person. He was doing research on colliding neutron stars. And I recorded it, but I couldn't find it, so I lost that interview. So hopefully I'll get Michael Landry on one day. So there was the gravitational waves that came out, but there was also other kinds of radiation. So back to the article. It was here the first discovery of gravitational waves was made in September 2015, confirming a prediction made by Albert Einstein 100 years ago and earning three pioneers of the project a Nobel Prize. Wow, three people in that LIGO thing got Nobel Prizes. Isn't that amazing? 2 seconds after the LIGO detection, a burst of gamma rays from the neutron star collision was captured by NASA's Fermi Space Telescope. So I guess Fermi is a gamma ray telescope. And astronomers around the world quickly turned their telescopes and dishes towards a small patch in the southern sky and also saw the flash across the visible and invisible light spectrum. So there was lots of information coming from this particular collision. As we know, there was a gravitational wave coming out from there. Then there was all kinds of infrared, gamma ray, and visible and invisible light. So all kinds, I think radio waves were also detected from there. Okay, so analysis of the light revealed something astonishing, the manufacture of gold on a cosmic scale, as well as other heavy elements. Dr. Joe Lyman from the University of Warwick, one of many British scientists involved, said, and quote, "The exquisite observations obtained in a few days showed we were observing a kilonova, an object whose light is powered by extreme nuclear reactions." This tells us that the heavy elements like gold or platinum in jewelry are the cinders forged in the billion-degree remnants of emerging neutron star. End quote. So what happens in supernovas when a huge star, much bigger than our sun, goes through the cycle, burns certain elements, and goes through the process of first burning hydrogen, then helium, then other elements, carbon, oxygen, and it makes the core look like an onion with its various layers. When the core gets to iron, iron is different than the other elements. For example, if you fuse hydrogen into helium, four hydrogens eventually go to make one helium. Energy is output. There's an output of energy. And this output of energy counters the gravitational contraction of all the mass of the star. So when it gets to iron, instead of outputting energy, there is an input of energy required. So the star collapses. And when the star collapses, in the first part, when it gets to the elements up to iron, then it produces those elements in the core. Then in the collapse, there's a rebound, and the rebound sends out a lot of, let's say, crap, a lot of radiation, a lot of heat, a lot of light, and they all react outside of the core, outside of the supernova core, and in the atmosphere of the supernova, and that's where a lot of the heavier elements are formed. So what happened when these two neutron stars formed? They also formed gold and platinum and things like this in the billion degree remnants of the merging neutron star. The origins of gold and other heavy elements have been a long-standing mystery, but recent evidence has suggested that colliding neutron stars could have a hand in their creation. Well, I don't know if it's a mystery because I'm not much of an astronomer. Like, I'm just a person that talks in the show. I'm not a postdoc or I'm not a professor. But I thought that some elements are created in the billion-degree remnants of an exploding supernova. So now they know that the elements are created in the billion-degree remnants of merging neutron stars. So a third gravitational wave facility called Virgo near Pisa, Italy, also registered a faint signal from the event, allowing scientists to triangulate its position. The neutron star collision took place 130 million light years away in a relatively old galaxy called NGC 4993. Well, if it's only 130 million light years away, I wouldn't have guessed it was an old galaxy. But anyway, when the gravitational waves began their journey across space, dinosaurs roamed the Earth. The gravitational wave signal, named GW, that's big G, big W, 170817, was detected at 1:41 p.m. UK time on August 17th. LIGO's detectors, consisting of L-shaped tunnels with arms 2.5 miles long, or about 4 kilometers long, use laser beams bouncing off mirrors to measure movement across a distance of 10,000 times smaller than the width of a proton, the kernel of an atom. So I was in those tubes when I went last year. I went out with Professor Mike Landry. He took me down those tubes. I went inside the LIGO thing. It was so cool. And I'm sorry, I don't have the show. I taped it and it didn't take on my recorder. So anyway, back to the article. A tight lid was kept on the findings until the publication of a series of papers in journals including Nature, Nature Astronomy, and Physical Review Letters. The international researchers expect to spend many months trawling through the mountain of data. One question already answered is the origin of short-duration gamma-ray bursts. Gamma-ray bursts, GRBs, marked by an eruption of gamma rays lasting milliseconds to several minutes, are the most powerful explosions known to science. Scientists know that one type of gamma-ray burst is generated when neutron stars collide. So there's short gamma ray bursts and there's long gamma ray bursts. Dr. Samantha Oates, also from the University of Warwick, said, and quote, "This discovery has answered three questions that astronomers have been puzzling for decades. What happens when neutron stars merge? What causes the short duration gamma ray bursts? Where are the heavy elements like gold made?" In the space of about a week, all three of these mysteries were solved, end quote. Our colleague, Dr. Danny Stieg, said, and quote, "This is a new chapter in astrophysics," end quote. British LIGO scientist, Professor B.S. Thatyaprakash from the University of Cardiff, described the new discovery as truly a eureka moment. He added, quote, "The 12 hours that followed are inarguably the most exciting hours of my scientific life. This event marks a turning point in observational astronomy and will lead to a treasure trove of scientific results," end quote. Yes, to me, I've been an astronomer for about 25, 30 years. I've basically just read, I have a telescope, I have had a couple telescopes. I look, and it's just a fascinating thing. But to have this, your life work, yes, this is very exciting to see these amazing things, these such energetic things. So remember when, let's say, a black hole forms or neutron star forms, it's because a star has collapsed. It's the end of its burning cycle, and it's now fusing iron, and the iron cannot, the energy, there is no energy output from iron. It takes energy to make the iron. So there's nothing to counter the gravitational contraction. So the star explodes. So we all knew about supernovas before, and we know that when supernovas explode, they give off as much energy in a few seconds or a minute as much as the sun will give off in its lifetime, or something to that magnitude. So they give off a lot of energy. And back to the article. And this not only gave off energy, it gave off a lot of information and gravitational waves, light waves, radio waves, a lot of different waves. Back to the article. Professor Bernard Schütz, also from the University of Cardiff, told how his team used the gravitational wave detections to measure the expansion of the universe more accurately than had ever been achieved before. Here is what he says, quote, "What has amazed me is that with just this one measurement, we got a result right in the middle between the two rather different values that astronomers have measured recently," end quote. Dr. David Schumacher, spokesman for the LIGO Scientific Collaboration, and senior research scientist at the U.S. Massachusetts Institute of Technology's Kavli Institute for Astrophysics and Space Research, that was a big one, said, and quote, "From informing detailed models of the inner workings of neutron stars and the emissions they produce to more fundamental physics such as general relativity, this event is just so rich. It is a gift that will keep on giving," end quote. LIGO colleague Professor Laura Cadonati from Georgia Institute of Technology U.S. said, and quote, This detection has genuinely opened the doors to a new way of doing astrophysics. I expect it will be remembered as one of the most studied astrophysical events in history," end quote. So that was amazing to have two neutron stars. They scatter gold and platinum. They send all kinds of light. They send out gravitational waves. They send out visible light, radio waves, gamma rays, everything. So now I'm going to read the CNN article. "For the first time, two neutron stars in a nearby galaxy have been observed engaging in a spiral death dance around one another until they collide. What resulted from that collision is being called an unprecedented discovery that is ushering a new era of astronomy," scientists announced Monday. Just let me get away a bit from this article. I keep looking up the sky, thinking, when is Betelgeuse, that star, going to go supernova? It's a big star. They could go supernova. It could have already gone supernova. It could go supernova in 1 second. It can go supernova tomorrow, or it might go supernova in 1,000 or 1 million years. No one knows. But that's what I'm waiting for, something like that. I think there's been 400 years since we saw a supernova in our galaxy. And I believe the time is... usually supernovas, there's about one supernova for each century in a galaxy. So we're long overdue. We've been 400 years. So I'm waiting for that Betelgeuse. And I guess scientists that were studying these neutron stars waiting for this. Okay, back to the article. Said Laura Cadonati, deputy spokeswoman for the LIGO Scientific Collaboration and professor in the School of Physics at Georgia Tech, and quote, "We can now fill in a few more tiles in the jigsaw puzzle that is the story of our universe," end quote. The collision created the first observed instance of a single source emitting ripples in space-time known as gravitational waves, as well as light, which was released in the form of a two-second gamma-ray burst. So as I mentioned earlier, you can have a two-second gamma-ray burst that can release as much energy as our star releases in its lifetime, or something like that. So they're amazing amounts of energy. And a gamma ray is a very short wavelength. It's got a very high frequency and a very short wavelength type of radiation. So we have visible light, which is longer. Radio waves, I believe, they're about the longest. They could be kilometer or more long. They're very long. Gamma rays, there could be millions of gamma rays in one little meter. So there's a lot of energy in there. Back to the article. The collision also created heavy elements such as gold, platinum, and lead, scattering them across the universe in a kilonova, similar to a supernova after the initial fireball. It is being hailed as the first known instance of multi-messenger astrophysics. One source in the universe emitting two kinds of waves, gravitational and electromagnetic. News conferences were held around the world, and a multitude of research papers were published Monday to detail the discovery, which was captured by space and Earth-based telescopes on August 17th. These papers and conferences include representatives for the thousands of scientists, 70 observatories, and gravitational wave detectors, LIGO and Virgo, that participated in one of the most observed and studied astronomical events of our time. One paper includes thousands of authors, making up 35% of the global astronomy community. So it was big. Now they show an artist's representation of two neutron stars colliding, and astronauts witness this for the first time on August 17th. The rippling space-time grid represents gravitational waves that travel out from the collision, while the narrow beams show the burst of gamma rays that are shot out just seconds after gravitational waves. Swirling clouds of material ejected from the merging stars are also depicted. The clouds glow with visible and other wavelengths of light. Gravitational waves were first directly detected 2 years ago, proving Albert Einstein's theory of general relativity. And recently, three scientists were awarded the Nobel Prize in Physics for their work on that first detection. So I'll read those scientists in a second. Those gravitational waves were the result of two black holes colliding, and the signal lasted for only a fraction of a second. But because black holes don't emit light, these waves were invisible and were only heard as thump. So let's see who won the... I think it's maybe Kip Thorne. Just wait. Let's see who it is. Okay, so let's see. Sorry, yes, Kip Thorne is one of them. He came here last year, and I got him to sign my book. I bought his book in 1995. And where are the names? Okay, NASA astronaut Mae Jemison, second right, with the recipients of the 2017 Nobel Prize in Physics. From left, Rainer Weiss, Barry C. Barish, and Kip S. Thorne. So Kip S. Thorne was great to listen to when he came here. So that's what my friend Michael Landry said when I talked to him. When I was down at the LIGO Observatory last year, he said he thought Kip Thorne would get a Nobel Prize, and he did. So back to the article. Those gravitational waves were the results of two black holes colliding, and the signal lasted for only a fraction of a second. Because black holes don't emit light, these waves were invisible and only heard as thumps. The discovery of two neutron stars colliding to create the same types of waves, in addition to light, allowed astronomers to study gravitational waves in a new way. The signal lasted for 100 seconds, wow, providing them with even more data and insight. It revealed that light and gravitational waves travel at the same speed. Now, we can use this type of event to measure the rate of expansion of the universe. So says Marcel Soares Santos, assistant professor at Brandeis University, and associate researcher at the Fermi Lab Center for Particle Astrophysics. Vicky Calogera, leading astrophysicist for the LIGO Scientific Collaboration, compared previous detections of gravitational waves to experience a thunderstorm in a room with no windows, only hearing the thunder. This detection was like experiencing a storm in a room with windows, changing everything scientists thought they knew. That's a good analogy. So if you're looking at the black hole's gravitational waves, you're in a room with no windows. This neutron star, you're in a room with windows, so you saw the lightning too. Calogera is also co-founder and the current director of CIERA, the Center for Interdisciplinary Exploration and Research in Astrophysics, an endowed research center at Northwest University. So says Can Donati, and quote, the impact for astrophysics is equivalent to the transition from watching a set of still pictures in black and white to sitting in a 3D IMAX movie theater. It is a multisensory experience of the universe, end quote. Theories and mysteries were tested and revealed in this rare observation. Events like this happen less than 100 times per million years in a galaxy. But the LIGO and Virgo detectors will become more sensitive in the future to look for similar similar events in tens of millions of galaxies. So says Tony Pirro, the George Ellery Hale Distinguished Scholar in the Theoretical Astrophysics at Carnegie Observatories. And quote, this was a culmination of a number of different areas in astronomy and physics coming together in one amazing event. End quote. In a collaboration with UC Santa Cruz, which is University of California, Santa Cruz, Carnegie Observatories were the first in the world to discover this event. They were able to detect or to collect early data just before, during, and after the collision and to study it in more detail. The discovery confirms that gamma ray bursts can result from the collision of neutron stars as well as that heavy elements are created as a result of violent collision between stars. It confirms what these neutron stars look like when they collide, and it confirms that gravitational waves and light can happen together. So says, a professor called Tony Pirro, and quote, this singular event finally solves all these problems, bringing together all these mysteries at once. So what are neutron stars? Stars are the smallest in the universe with a diameter comparable to the size of a city. They are leftover remnants of a supernova, but they are incredibly dense with masses bigger than that of our sun. So think of the sun compressed into a major city. Now think of two of them violently crashing into each other. This is more energy than is released by the sun during an entire life, and this was released during just 10 seconds as the neutron stars spiral together. And here's another thing. How did heavy elements end up on Earth? It happens from the center of our stars. It has to do with the level of iron. Anything heavier than iron can't be formed naturally. It results from violent collisions of dense stars or explosions during the collapse of massive stars. That was what astronomers witnessed during their particular collision. These heavy metals were then shot far away from the collision. These collisions are responsible for half of the heavy elements in the universe. So some of our elements on Earth came from supernova or merging neutron stars. The heavy elements are dispersed in the gas and galaxies, which settles down and condenses to form stars and disks around stars. That forms planets, and the planets have gold in them, which we mine on Earth. In order for these neutron stars to form in the first place, there was a supernova when this universe was young, about 2 billion years old. For 11 billion years after, these stars danced around one another until they finally died in that collision. The initial supernova that created the neutron stars also created elements up to the weight of iron. This latest collision of the neutron stars, resulting in a kilonova, created all of the elements heavier than iron. So the entire life cycle of these stars created every element represented on the periodic table, according to Edo Berger of the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics. And there's another little thing I want to read. How did so many astronomers witness? Because Virgo and LIGO worked together for the first time with scientists around the world, and they detected of the signal of the gravitational wave in August. And when they did that, alert was sent out to all observatories in the world. So they embarked on a quest to pinpoint where in the sky the signal was coming from so they could observe it in detail, especially when they realized it was accompanied by a gamma ray burst. So what mysteries remain? Any big discovery leaves new questions in its wake, and this one is no exception. Astronomers will continue to study the data obtained in this discovery. They want to know what the merger of these two stars created, either a black hole or a bigger neutron star. The latest research has study authors leaning towards a black hole. They also want to know why the gamma ray burst was faint, given that it occurred in a neighboring galaxy, should have appeared much brighter. So says Professor Pirro, and quote, the picture most people have is that the gamma ray burst was faint because it was viewed off axis. The gamma ray emission is highly beamed, so if you are not looking right down the barrel of the relativistic jet, then you won't see the full power of the blast. And that's what I thought too, because sometimes you have gamma ray bursts, and if they're not aimed towards us, then they won't hit us and we won't see them. And that's why there was a Death Star. It was a Wolf Rayet star a few years ago. And some scientists were saying, oh my gosh, that could hit us. But no, its axis was off, so it couldn't hit us. So thank you for listening. This is a really exciting time for astronomers. And, you know, I'm an amateur astronomer. I just play around. But, you know, for people working on this, it's their, like, wow, it's amazing. It's their life work. So thank you for listening to this. Marco, you've been listening to Astrotalk on CITR 101.9.